It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news every morning. And you'll find us on iHeartRadio, of course, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And a Tuesday morning, the 27th day of February, and a very good morning if you are in Canberra this morning, looking at the Canberra market right now to perhaps buy in. In fact, you might be outside of Canberra. New data from Domain suggests that first home buyers eyeing Canberra's property market should look to Woden Valley for the quickest savings timeline. Now, whilst it takes nearly 6 years for young Canberra people and others to save a 20% deposit on a house, entry-priced units offer a much faster track. Couples aged between 25 and 34 can save for a unit in about 3.5 years, ranking Canberra behind Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. But as I say, it is not just happening in the Canberra market. So this morning, for the first time in 2024, we are going to be catching up with our friend Margaret Lomas from Destiny Financial Solutions. And good morning to you, Margaret. Welcome back to the Real Estate Breakfast. Did you have a great holiday break, which seems like a while ago now?
Well, I haven't been back that long. I actually went to Antarctica this year, so it was pretty amazing.
What? Tell us about that.
I did an expedition cruise out of South America down through the Drake Passage, which is fondly known as either the Drake Lake or the Drake Shake. And we definitely got the Drake Shake going through there, down into Antarctica. Being an expedition cruise, you're out in kayaks and zodiacs and all that sort of thing every day. You know, whales just coming up to the surface right beside your kayak, penguins chasing you in the zodiac. It's absolutely fabulous.
Wow. I didn't realize that you could get into kayaks and sort of have a bit of a paddle. I think that'll come as news to a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's great. Freezing and your hands basically, fused to the paddle because they're so cold. But you're so fascinated by everything that you're seeing while you're down there that you forget about the cold pretty quickly and just really admire the breathtaking scenery. We had perfect weather for 5 days. So we were out on the ice every day for 5 days, exploring some of those scientific stations that are down there, just seeing wildlife, incredible wildlife. Seals, penguins of every type that you can imagine. And of course, those whales, which often would come up alongside the ship and, you know, just swim around. And it was fabulous.
Wow, that sounds like a very sort of one-off thing to do. And did they show you the shelves that have sort of broken away and what global warming is doing?
Not so much, although I was in the Arctic last year and I did see a fair bit of evidence of receding glaciers when I was there.
All right. So from glaciers to first home buyers and spending all this time, 6 years potentially to buy a house. But as I mentioned, you know, this 3.5 years to get into the property market, not just Woden Valley there in Canberra, but other markets that people should sort of look at, because it's always a bit of a struggle to just try and keep pace of the real estate market going up.
Mm-hmm. And look, let's talk specifically about Woden, first of all, very quickly, because I know that you introduced the show with that. Woden Valley, formerly a bit of a commercial area with a lot of businesses, now starting to get units and a lot of trendy eateries and bars and things like that. You know, it's in the Phillip area, which is southwest of Canberra. And it's an area that hasn't previously had a lot of units, so it's quite new. And it is coming to the attention of a lot of young first time buyers. But let's talk about what happens when you buy a unit. And Australia as a whole still hasn't gotten over that entire great Australian dream being to own a home with a backyard. And when most people buy units in Australia, they're doing so with the thought that it's going to become a stepping stone into that house. It's a cheaper option, as you say, half the time to save for a deposit, get into that unit, wait for a little while, get some equity, and then leverage up into a house.
Yeah, and of course, people looking at cutting almost in half the save time for deposits will be attracted for sure into the units. But you also see that this isn't the end all of what people should be factoring into the process of buying a unit. So what else should first home buyers be considering and thinking about, especially around the question of what comes next, what comes after the unit?
In other countries, many Asian countries, people know that they're going to be living in a unit for the rest of their lives, and that's what they aim for. And we see Hong Kong and Singapore and areas like that with an abundance of units, and people live in them, and entire generations pass units down from, you know, father to son and mother to daughter. We don't have that kind of culture yet in Australia, and I think we're still some way off that. Hence, we see the very big differential between that first home unit that you might buy and that first home that you might buy in a similar area. So the problem becomes this: you buy into a unit and you have only half the deposit required. But when it grows a little and you're ready to get into a house, it still lags behind that house. And it might be just as difficult at the tail end of that strategy to get up into that house, unless you're also able to save a lot of money alongside the mortgage repayment that you're making. And the reason that can be hard for people getting into units is that these days, with all of the things going wrong with units, and 80% of all units in Australia since private certification are either leaky or have some other structural problem. So what we see happening now is we see strata levies fairly high. And because you're paying a big chunk a year, sometimes between $6,000 and $15,000 a year for strata levies, then you're unable to save that gap deposit you need when you come to sell your unit to make that leap up into a house.
That culture that you talk about is a very real and really interesting angle and take on what is happening in Australia, because as you say, we're not there at the moment. All right, we'll come back to Margaret Lomas in just a moment and talk more property after this.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on The Real Estate Podcast.
Well, you might remember last year we were talking about this whole thing of metrification. This is following the infrastructure, much like gentrification when buying properties around Australia, especially investment properties. Well, the Queensland Government's $2.75 billion commitment to rail, that marks a significant stride towards constructing the long-awaited Sunshine Coast rail line, which is going to link the region to Brisbane. And yes, there has been some criticism around this, which is centering on the full connection to Maroochydore. Well, of course, that kind of makes sense. But despite the challenges, the project promises faster rail, in turn seeing probably growth and employment opportunities in one of Queensland's fastest growing regions. So keep tabs on that, would be the idea.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated. Don't let dinner prep time go to waste. Plug in your earbuds to listen to a world of powerful real estate news and information.
And we are back on our Real Estate Tuesday with Margaret Lomas talking all things property this morning. And Margaret, got to talk about the RBA this morning, because so much hinges on how the year unfolds this year on mortgage rates. Last week, I had it suggested to me that Michelle Bullock might be continuing with this retrograde rhetoric this year that interest rate rises are not off the table depending on any shocks to the market, and that it's highly unlikely any rise would occur. So with that signalling, do you see it as rhetoric or merely a balancing act around any potential rises? What do you think?
One has to wonder whether the former governor, Philip Lowe, who came out and very clearly said to everybody there will not be any rate rises until the late 2024, and then people plunged headlong into mortgages that they subsequently can't afford. And you do have to wonder whether Michelle's just really covering the bases now. And it's like give everybody an expectation that there might be a rise, give them a cut, and everyone's going to be extra grateful for that. So over, under promising and over delivering, I think is the strategy that she's using. At this point in time, there's definitely nothing out there to suggest that we need a rise right now. We're seeing just in the last 3 days data showing us that there's an uptick in people in mortgage distress in certain areas. So we're seeing more people asking for a repayment holiday, more people coming back to banks to try to negotiate those slightly lower rates if they can get them. And, you know, I want your listeners to know that you can often get them. So don't be afraid to really, you know, screw your bank down hard for those rate cuts. And I think probably what we're seeing is, yes, a bit of rhetoric, because I think the Reserve Bank just doesn't want to step into that arena again where they gave everybody this false hope. And at the end of the day, they then gave us 13 interest rate rises over a short, relatively short period of time. And that just hurt everybody. You know, I'm a person who was easily affording all of my loans, but it got tight for me as well. So I think, you know, I just think about that average family with a mortgage where they bit off more than they could chew. All of those interest rate rises hurt them, and everybody went for blood from the Reserve Bank. I reckon Michelle's just trying to cover her bases.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there, Margaret. Plenty of points that you have raised for consideration and pondering on. And I'll let you get back to your day. And thanks once again for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
Always my pleasure.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
Because I note that you can actually buy a one bedder. You can spend $300,000. I'm not sure if it gets you in Moonee Valley or slightly out of Moonee Valley, but just talk to that for our first home buyers, because when they hear $300,000, they get pretty excited.
Yeah, of course. Look, $300,000 won't get you a one bedder next to Queen's Park or next to the Maribyrnong River, but, you know, $300,000 if you're slightly out of Moonee Valley, you know, if you're going into, let's say, Pascavale or something around there, then you can still get just under 40 square metres, a one bedroom, one bathroom, one car spot. You know, there is entry level property out here.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.